Prepare to dive into the forefront of healthcare innovation at our 14th annual meeting coming up on April 8th through 11th at the Hyatt Regency in Chicago, with thousands of industry leaders converging over four dynamic days of discussions on crucial topics from health IT to executive leadership. It's where the future of healthcare takes shape. We can't wait to connect with you in person and engage in these important conversations.
Welcome everyone to the Becker's Healthcare Podcast Series. I'm Mariah Muhammad, writer and moderator with Becker's Healthcare. And I'm absolutely thrilled to have with me today, Diana Shorenstein from the Innovation Office at Mass General Brigham. Diana, it's very nice to have you on the podcast today. To get us started, would you mind please introducing yourself and telling us a bit about your background?
Hello, everyone. I'm Diana Shorenstein, and I'm excited to be here today to discuss my journey and passion for driving growth and fostering talent within the healthcare field. I began my journey, my career, getting my master's in health communication. This is really when I realized my passion for driving change and making a significant impact in healthcare. Throughout my career, I've led various programs, organizational, financial, and strategic. But recently, I've been focusing on building talent, inclusion, and growth programs for innovators, but also those contributing to innovation. I believe if we prioritize nurturing talent and fostering growth, we have the ability to create a healthcare community where everyone can truly thrive. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to share more and to be with you today.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for giving us that background. And like I said, I'm very excited to have you on the podcast today. To get us started and dive into the topics, a quick overview for you. What are the biggest issues you're following in healthcare in this year?
Yeah, so my passion is really driving innovation forward and being part of Mass General Brigham, a national leader in medical research, education, and patient care. It offers a tremendous platform to catalyze change. So I'm closely tracking emerging technologies like AI and how they're reshaping healthcare delivery. I'm also following how organizations are empowering their people, specifically innovators, to get more technologies to patients. Also looking at how are organizations navigating these complicated cost challenges and what are they doing to access patient care. So those are the top things that I'm currently tracking.
Got it. Thank you so much for giving us that. And what inspired the creation of the Innovator Development and Growth Division at MGB? And what goals does it aim to achieve within the organization?
Yes. So at Mass General Brigham, we have a sizable community, yet only a small number are actively contributing as innovators. This highlights a critical need to maximize the commercial potential of our research by empowering more innovation, more innovators, and getting more breakthrough technologies to patients. Recognizing this need, we researched the barriers to innovation for our community, both through surveys that inspired a Harvard Business School case study that's actually now taught in the classroom to MBAs and through executive education, and from published research by Mark Succi, who's an MGH radiologist and the founder of the MESH platform, which is an innovation training and cross-institutional networking hub with over 3,000 researchers, clinicians, and others involved, and it continues to grow. Really driven by a shared vision, Mark and I decided to unite our efforts to do something more strategic and to enable transformational impact. I'm the operational lead, and Mark is the clinical lead. We also have a project lead, Anu Gupte, but with the full support of our system's chief innovation officer, Chris Coburn. This newly launched unit, as you mentioned, the Innovator Development and Growth Division, IDGD, it provides a comprehensive innovation training and development hub. We aim to enable more innovators, support existing innovators, and ultimately drive more actionable innovation. But we're also trying to really create and change culture, a culture where innovation is not only supported, but it's encouraged. That's what we're working on right now.
Yeah, thank you so much for giving us that insight. And, you know, being Women's History Month, I think the next question that I should ask, in what ways does IDGD foster inclusivity within the innovator community, particularly in empowering underutilized talents such as women. And what could other health systems learn from this, do you think?
Yeah, I'm so excited you're asking about this because it's an area we've spent so much time. Our approach stems from our research on the barriers to innovation, which we've used to tailor our programs to reach a broader audience, especially those that are currently underrepresented. The HBS case study led by HBS Professor Katie Kaufman shares efforts to understand why certain groups participate less and how to effectively engage them. This case features our CEO, Dr. Anne Kablansky, who is a transformational leader and champion of this work. And the case study findings align closely with Mark's findings as well. So let me give you some tactical examples of how we go about this, and hopefully others can learn from it. First, our annual Rising Innovator Program. It includes 50 individuals from across the system. We intentionally ensure that at least half of the cohort are women, with an aim to directly impact the future composition of the innovator community. Additionally, we customize content to address specific barriers we've identified. So, for example, we found that women tend to view themselves as less as innovators. So we build into our program content around empowering participants to see themselves as innovators and also encouraging them to take more risks. Finally, we offer programs, a variety of programs, tailored to meet unique needs, preferences, and learning styles. So we've got it all covered. We offer in-person programs, on-demand programs, peer-to-peer. Our diverse range of different formats ensures that everyone can find the right fit for their journey towards innovation and towards growth. So those are some ways we've been going about this.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I imagine with all the wonderful things that you've discussed so far, you know, data has to come into play at some point in time. So what role does data play in identifying opportunities and progress?
Yes, data is key. Data plays a very key role in our approach, and we're deeply rooted in data decision-making. So as I mentioned, we conduct research to identify barriers and then use those insights to design effective interventions. So that's one way. We also use data to identify high potential populations and to reach those who may have been overlooked. And we're also committed to tracking individuals who go through our programs in our databases, and by monitoring their progress over time, we can measure the impact of our success and or course correct as needed. So data really is key, both sort of at the research stage, the looking for your populations, and then making sure you're actively monitoring them and supporting them through their journey.
Yeah, makes sense. Thank you so much for sharing that. And can you share any early successes and notable achievements that have stemmed from initiatives led by the IDGD?
Thanks for asking that. I think one, you know, good place to start is we have 50 people that go through our Rising Innovator program each year. And what we're seeing is that the people that go through our program are recommending their peers to go through their program. And we're creating a community of like-minded people who are encouraging each other to pursue innovation. And that's a direct impact of the programs that we're designing, is that we're creating this community where not only are they thinking about themselves as innovators, but thinking about their peers and colleagues and bringing them in to join us as we move forward.
Wonderful. And the last question I wanted to ask you is, how does the IDGD collaborate with external partners to achieve its mission?
Yes. So we have placed significant emphasis on leveraging partnerships to achieve our objectives, both through industry, but also academia, especially being in Boston. I'll give you a few examples. The first one is we collaborate closely with Babson College to deliver two of our programs by combining academic faculty with our innovation experts. We create a highly tailored learning experience, and it's been very unique and so far has played out really well. We established a strategic advisory council, which includes industry leaders who actively shape and advise our initiatives. getting outside perspectives on how to go about these programs and learn from their experience and expertise has been invaluable. And finally, we are committed to collaborating with organizations and healthcare systems that share our vision and objectives. We probably, I would say, at least once a week, have dedicated meetings on these exchanges, sharing insights, successes, and addressing common challenges. This ongoing exchange of knowledge and experiences enables us to learn from one another and form collaborations that propel us towards our collective goals. So those are a few examples.
Yeah, thank you so much for those final thoughts. This has definitely been an amazing and informative discussion. So again, I want to thank you so much for coming on Becker's Healthcare. We really do appreciate it. And I look forward to connecting with you again soon.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it too.